Hello, this is John Galloway.
And this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is the Full Stack Videocast, a pair programming experiment where we build out a full working application spanning from server to web and phone and everything else in between, while you watch.
Hi, John.
Hello, Jesse. I should have said that with the Seinfeld-esque, hello, Newman.
Exactly.
So here we are.
We are, indeed. And last time we went over a great deal of material to catch everyone up and to catch ourselves up. And today I believe what we're going to do is take a look at the work we did on capturing images and preserving images on the phone.
Yep.
So this is the working version, such as it is. And let me quickly log into Facebook.
And I'm sure faithful listeners will know that you hit the break button to pop up that on-screen keyboard. Unfaithful listeners will have just picked up a new tip.
The goal was to be able to put in as much information as we wanted about the person that we met, put in their name, and perhaps we captured their hair color, and then we hit the camera, and now we're looking at the emulation of the camera, which is not as good as it would be on a native Windows machine, but I'm actually running boot camp, so we don't see an image here, but we can still take the image, accept it, and then it's displayed in the same panorama view with all the other information we're capturing to show what you're going to be recording.
So that is actually kind of cool. I mean, the emulator does, it creates a semi-randomish picture. And so it's something you can use, actually, when you're working with
it. Right, you get a sense of whether you've captured the picture and how big the picture will be and so on. So we're going to save that. Mm-hmm. And what that's actually done is it has swizzled that down to a byte array and put that into both our local database and also written it to the server database if the server database is available. Then if we go and search, so let's go to the page where it says hair color, and we're going to search for anybody who has gray hair and say search, and we find the person. When we click on them, we now not only get their details, but we also get that image restored. So we need to take that image and reconstitute it out of the byte array into the image for the camera. So that's what we're going to look at, is how to do that. What we've done in order to facilitate that is we've rolled back using version control to the last version before the camera work was put in. And so this version does not have the work needed in order to capture the image. And so what we want to do is go to create contact XAML CS. And I'm going to pretend, since I'm supposedly the Win Phone guy, that I figured this out. But actually, you figured out a good chunk of how this camera stuff works. So I may turn to you to explain some of this as we go.
Sure. I mean, as a lot of this has been, there were searches for, you know, phone launcher, you know, and just kind of
how do we do this?
Look around until something worked and then clean it up so it actually worked nicely.
So create contact.xaml. What we're going to do, the first thing is that we need to set up the launcher for launching the camera, and we need to set up the callback for when the camera capture returns.
Now, you explained to me early on in the project, but some terms that get passed around with Windows Phone, there's launchers and choosers. And I think launcher, you explained to me, is something that like pops up and then comes back to your application.
No, just the opposite. They're both considered tasks. The difference between a launcher and a chooser is a launcher, think of a launcher as fire and forget. So an example of a launcher would be if you're sending an SMS message. You say, send an SMS message. Maybe you pre-populate some of the fields, but once you launch that, you're not getting it back. Whereas a chooser says, go into some part of the native part of the phone and choose something and bring it back to me. So the things that bring back or that are choosers are when you go into the contact list or when you go to the camera, and what you're going to get back is an image.
Okay. So this is actually a chooser and not
That's
a launcher
correct.
Then?
Exactly. Okay. Now, launchers and choosers are both tasks. So the first thing that we want to do is create an instance of the camera capture task, and we'll make that a private member variable of this class. Now, notice I immediately got the squiggly line, so I'm going to hit Control Dot, and that's going to say, oh, you need to use Microsoft Phone Tasks, so we'll add that as a using statement. Okay, the way that the chooser will work is that we will call show on that camera object, and you'll see that in just a bit. And then we also need to set up a callback for when the camera chooser completes. And so that's the camera completed event. And so let's go ahead and add that as well into our constructor. So that says on camera completed event, please go into our new event handler, camera completed. Okay, camera completed is unhappy because we haven't implemented camera completed yet. So let me create a skeleton for that. Interesting capitalization convention. I'm not sure that was quite right, but. And what you get is a photo result, which is, of course, a type of event args. Okay.
Okay, so pretty standard callback then.
One of the things that I do want to take a look at with this and also with our saving to the database is using Rx to simplify the call and callback. But for now, we're going to do this in the traditional way. Okay, so that's our camera completed. Next step is to handle the camera completed by taking a look at the photo result, which has a property task result, to see if that comes back and says, yes, we got an okay task result. That is to say, we got some kind of image for you. So we say, okay, let's test task result and see if that's equal to okay. Let me just clean this up a little bit. And if it is, then we're going to do the work of getting the image and putting that into a byte array. So the first thing that we do is we say...
And the reason, like, when the camera takes the picture, it actually creates a JPEG, and you can go into your task result and say, what was that picture? So I think in a lot of cases, you don't really need this whole byte array thing.
I need to correct that slightly. It doesn't quite create a JPEG. What it does is it creates an object that you can turn in. It creates a stream that you can turn into a JPEG using the picture decoder.
Okay.
So we'll have a line, in fact, in just a minute that shows that. But yes, we're putting it into a byte array because that's the best way for us to be able to store it. So what we're going to do is to declare a local byte array for the moment. And we'll declare that byte array to be the length of the stream that we got back from the photo result. And then we're going to tell that photo result to read into that byte array from that stream, starting at the beginning and offsetting zero from the beginning, that is, starting at the very beginning and reading the entire length. So that's going to fill that byte array from that stream.
Okay. And there's that clue that it's a chooser here, is this e.chosen photo is the result.
Exactly.
Then.
All right. So then the next thing that we need to do is we need to seek back to the beginning of that array. So we'll quickly do a seek on that photo. And let's add the system IO so that the seek will be known. And we're now ready to decode the image into our image source to display to the user. Now, this needs to be explained a little bit carefully because right now we've just done three steps that have to do with getting this image into the byte array. We're now going to do something not with the byte array at all, but instead directly into the image source for the camera image. In fact, let's put it into a temporary variable so that we can see how that works. So this is actually a break from what we were doing. This is going to be to display it at the time that we create it. So we're going to say picture decoder, and picture decoder is in Microsoft Phone, and we're going to call the static method decode JPEG, which you can see returns a writable bitmap. And which is very interesting. Actually, I thought that's not quite what I thought it did return. It decodes a JPEG into a writable bitmap object, and chosen photo is of type stream. So a little bit of frank confusion there about exactly what the status is of this, because we've got a stream, and we've got a method that says that it takes a JPEG and turns it into a writable bitmap. So I think that that's something we'll want to follow up on.
I think maybe that it's taking a JPEG stream and turning it into, yeah, I guess
that
what
must
you just
be what
said.
It's doing is taking a JPEG stream and turning it into a writable bitmap. But if that is what it's doing, is in fact turning it into a writable bitmap, then there may be a place later in the code that I'll show you that we can simplify. But in any case, okay, we then are going to take that image source, which is now a writable bitmap and therefore valid to be the source for our camera image, which camera image, you'll remember, is a image that's sitting in the panorama. And so we can assign image source to be the source for camera image. And it is not seeing camera image because we may not have that in the XAML at the moment. So let's go and make sure that create contact has camera image in the XAML. It should have a panorama.
We may need to create that panorama.
Let's go ahead and do that. And so what we're going to do is go to create contact, where we already have three panels in the panorama, and create a fourth panel that'll be the panel to hold the image. And what I'm going to do is steal that from the existing one. So let me just go and grab that code.
As I remember, though, the XAML is pretty simple. It's a within panorama, it's creating a new panorama item and then adding
exactly
an image.
So what we're doing is we're closing the old panorama item twice in this case. There we go. Creating a new panorama item, and inside that panorama item putting the image. That's going to be called camera image. Let's save that. We can now go back to the CS file, and camera image now takes a source, which is that image source that we just created.
That panorama control is pretty nice. I mean, it takes a little bit to get used to the idea, but the way that it handles the whole, you know, multiple kind of pages within a form is
yes, and I find that it does work in the sense of the overlap does, watching people use it does invite people into scrolling and taking a look at what's beyond there. Now, one thing that we just did is we just put that into a panorama item, and in fact, it's with zero offset, it's offset 3, that is to say, it's the fourth panel. We're going to want at this point to have that display. So the way that we do that, it's interesting, there's no programmatic way to say go to this panorama, but because we're coming back after the chooser resumes, that is considered as if we had been tombstoned and then restored, and so because of that, we're actually returning, and therefore all we need to do is to set the default item to the fourth panorama item, and it will go to that as part of its resumption. So I couldn't, in the middle, programmatically, I couldn't say go to panorama item number 4 or offset 3, but I can say now set the default item, and then when it restores itself, which is something that we had a lot of confusion about, certainly, about the fact that when you do a chooser, your application is actually, in Windows 7, it's actually tombstoned. In Mango, it's put into the dormant state, or potentially tombstone, but then it comes back from the chooser and it's a restore.
Now, what's the difference between dormant and tombstone? Are they, from the point of, in order, when we migrate this to Mango, are we going to have to change this, or from the application developer point of view, is it pretty much transparent?
It's a little bit of both. The difference between dormant and tombstone is that dormant allows for fast application switching, and nothing is lost, so you do not necessarily have to stash away your context or your views on the page, because you're going to nothing is taken out of memory. When you're tombstone, you are taken out of memory, and therefore you do have to store that information. Now, you can't know in advance when you're dormant whether you will eventually be tombstone, because if other applications need memory, then applications that are dormant will be tombstone in a least most recently used order.
So does that mean then that this will break under Mango?
No, it'll work just fine.
Okay.
Because what it means is that it'll be faster and more responsive under Mango because it'll go dormant and there'll be no harm done. But if it does Tombstone, it'll work just fine because we've prepared for Tombstone. What we do need to do, though, is to recognize that it might be Tombstone here, and therefore we need to call our view models restore to say you might have been Tombstone, so make sure that you're restored here. Now we could, as a matter of
this, as you're saying, this was all a key point here was the whole it was a little baffling because we were like we had this the view model that was populated. You can see in Create Contact up at the top that we had this available, and then all of a sudden it was null, and we just were just kind of stunned by where could it have gone, and we just kind of made some guesses and figured out that it was tombstoned and was so it's basically like the application is shut down and started back up, and it's up to you to programmatically restore back to where things were.
Yes, exactly. Now, as a matter of efficiency, because you might have been dormant and not tombstoned, you might in the restore routine choose to check how you were brought back to where you are and then change whether you go through the reconstitution of whatever it is you've stored away. But that won't change anything in what we're doing. The one thing that we do have to do, we went through all this effort to create this byte array that holds the image. The reason we did that was so that we could give it to the view model to put into the contact's thumbnail. So what we want to do is say viewmodel.thumbnail. And our view model doesn't have a thumbnail at the moment because, once again, we've backed up to before we were ready to do this. So let's go ahead and go into first the person and then the view model and give them each a thumbnail. So
I think the person has a thumbnail, but the view model doesn't expose.
Take a quick look at that. Person CS, you are absolutely correct. Person has a thumbnail byte array. Let's go to the view model. And we want the Create Contact view model and take a quick look as to whether it has a thumbnail, which it does not. So we're going to come into the view model and we can copy one of the existing properties. Let's come down to the bottom here and drop in eye color and change that to thumbnail. And so we're going to want to return the contact's thumbnail, and then we're going to want to say if the contact's thumbnail is equal to the value return, otherwise set the contact's thumbnail to value and raise property change, and we need to get that name, so we need a constant string, and we're going to say that this is going to be thumbnail name equal thumbnail.
And then we need to change all those strings to byte arrays.
Yes, we do. This should be a byte array. Are there any other places that we need to change that, or is it just there? I believe it.
Above?
I don't think above. Where? Right above?
Wait.
No, this is just the name that's used for the notify update.
Yeah, so thumbnail name, when it says raise property change, that needs to be thumbnail name,
right, not thumbnail. Okay.
Now, was there one other thing? I thought there may have been something we needed to do as far as the whole coercing byte types back and forth or something like that.
Yeah, you'll see that when we reconstitute the image when on the search. Remember, we went to the search, we clicked on a name, and we brought that image up. That's where you'll see that work, I believe, is what you're talking about. So let's save this, go back to where we were. We have still not saved it to the view model, so we want to say VM dot now we should have thumbnail equals, and this is why we created this byte array originally. We want to say equals image bytes, and that will take that array of bytes that we've turned the image into, put it into the view model's thumbnail. That property will pass that right through to the contact, and the contact will then be stored with the thumbnail as a byte array.
Okay.
So then the next step, actually we could test this right now, which is we are now able to take the image and see the image right away, but not display it on a search result. So why don't we run this just as an interim step to see that this is working. So we say create, and of course it wants me to log in again and put in my password. And now to test this, we can, we did not enable the camera. So let's pause this or stop debugging. And we need to go to the create contact XAML. Do we have that? Yes, we do. And in create contact XAML, oh, look, there's my favorite thing to have happen, which is I disconnected the window. Okay. What we want to do is go find that button, which is the application bar icon button. Yep. And we have AB camera is enabled equal false. That should now say is enabled equal true because we now have a camera.
And this is interesting along the way here that you figured out some things that you can't just bind directly to these, and they're actually kind of different than the other Silverlight elements that we've got on the form, that these buttons are kind of shell buttons that we can interface with but can't bind directly to.
That's right. They're not framework elements, so you cannot bind to them, and you cannot, in fact, even acquire them programmatically so as to change the is enabled and so forth. That turns out to be not something that you can do right out of the box with the application bar icons, at least at this point. So we're going to run that. Let's see if we can get that camera up and running. And to test this, we can just click on the camera. And that works perfectly. Did we not hook up the camera button? Well, we're just going to leave all these goofs in because that's sometimes what it's like. You know, it's just, you know, you get the hard part, you forget the easy part, and that just doesn't surprise me at all. So stop debugging, and what we need is a event handler for AV camera click. Oh, we never did the did the show.
We never launched the task.
That's correct.
So we're handling the result of the task, but we never
launched
the
task.
Right, and
we said earlier, oh, we need to be sure to do that.
We got to come back to that.
So what we want to do is add an event handler for AV camera click. That, by the way, is being declared right here. So we don't have to declare that in the constructor, but we do have to implement it. So let's go back to create contact XAML.cs. And here we have save and search click. And all we need to do is the same thing for AV camera click. And what we're going to do is to call show on the camera, and that will cause the task to be, well, I want to say to be launched, but it's a chooser. But I don't want to say that will cause the task to be chosen. So it'll cause the task to be launched, which will cause the chooser.
It will show
that's
the chooser.
What it will do. Thank you. So let's try that once more with feeling. So back into the application. You have the feeling it really wants you to run Internet Explorer?
Yep.
Why are we not running here? Can we run? Ah, we have an error. Create contact already defines a member called AB camera click with the same parameter types. Okay, excellent. Let's go and take this part out so that, we can put it in and go and find AB camera click. Ah, we had it. We just had it doing nothing. Who wrote this code?
Right.
Okay, camera show. Let's try building this time before running. Excellent, unreachable code, my favorite kind. That's because of our testing apparatus. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring up the emulator and say create. And then hit the camera button. Hoo-ah, the camera, excellent. And then take a picture and say accept the picture and please display it, please. Ta-da! Notice, by the way, that
there
you saw the resuming interim for just for a moment, because in fact it's treating it as you're resuming from being Tombstone, because you're coming back from the chooser.
Which goes back to, you know, it is nice that they forced us to put all those things in when we were going through the whole store certification thing, and we'll talk more about that in a follow-up, but there was a requirement that we needed to have for any kind of delay up, you know, over a second, that there needs to be progress indication.
Well, that's
so it's nice to see that.
Go ahead. Yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, but that's a great point. Unfortunately, not relevant here because that one you get for free, resuming. That was built in.
But isn't that happening because it's not restarting the app from scratch.
No, it's restoring the app from Tombstone.
Good point.
The second place, of course, that we want this to work is when the user does a search, and as a result of that search, they get back a list of people's names, and they click on one of the names, and we want to see that image. In order to do that, we're going to have to make a number of changes. One change is that we're going to want to store not a list of strings in the search results, but instead a list of person objects in the search results. So that's one thing that we need to do. A second thing that we need to do, therefore, because we changed that to be a person, is that our display results is going to use a list of person. Our get full name now becomes much simpler. There's no parsing. We can get the first and last name out of the person. The get full description becomes much simpler because, again, we're getting the hair color, hair length, and so on directly out of the person rather than having to parse that out of a long string that we had previously been saving. We need to remember to save it as a person in the search field. But the key work that we really care about is up here where we're going to get the person out of the results collection. Then we're going to display the details about that person as we had been before, and then we're going to test to see if we have a thumbnail for that person. If we do not have a thumbnail, we didn't take a picture, then we set the source for the picture in the search results pane to null.
Mm-hmm.
If we do have a thumbnail, then we're back in the position we were in earlier, where we have a byte array, and we're going to take that byte array and read it into a memory stream. Now, a memory stream is a disposable object, so we're going to use the using construct here. And then once it's in a memory stream, we can call decode.jpg on that memory stream, which will give us a writable bitmap, and we can use that writable bitmap as the source for our picture.
So at a high level, I mean, a lot of this actually cleans up some things before. We had kind of a quick and dirty thing where we're like, yeah, I'll just grab some information about the user and show them, and it was using a string. And then you can see from looking at the code that there was a good amount then of parsing out of the string and all that. So by falling back to using the person object, that all got simplified.
Yes, and made for better code. We did it specifically to be able to manage the thumbnail, but it makes for much cleaner code.
And then, like you're saying, the rehydrating of the thumbnail image is the same thing as pretty much as when we showed it before, because we've got a byte stream, so it's just decode it and show it.
Exactly. Okay, so let's try running this. We'll load up a new emulator, which means that we'll need to log in, but that's okay. Hit the create button, log into Facebook. All right, so we're going to create a new person. You don't spell it with two O's, do you?
No.
Not usually, anyway. We'll say that your hair length is very short.
It's null.
What color is it? Blue? Green? Gray?
No, I think hazel.
Hazel.
Hazel today.
Okay. And we'll take a picture, accept the picture, see the picture, and then save that entire record. And notice we now blank out the picture as well as blanking out all the fields, and so we're ready for the next person. If we do a search, we find you, we click on your name, and we bring up your image.
Beautiful. So I think there we've kind of, I mean, that pretty much wraps it up there. We've shown from the beginning to end of making that chooser launch, grabbing the image, saving it, and restoring it later on further searches. And because we already had the thumbnail byte array set up as part of our object, that's automatically going to be saved back up to the server as well during the server sync.
That's correct. So we're now able to take that image, persist it, and then restore it on a search.
Great.
So look for it soon in the marketplace, I guess, is the next statement. For Microsoft, this is Jesse Liberty.
And this is John Galloway.
And?
This is the full stack.
There you go. Well done, John. All right.
I was like, what else do I need to say?